Good morning. Today we begin a study of confession. Of course, when we mention confession, the question becomes, are we talking about confessing Jesus as the Son of God and accepting Him as our Lord and Savior? Or are we talking about confessing our sins, acknowledging the fact that our fleshly nature draws us into sin? Today we will be examining the concept of confessing Jesus, noting that such a biblical confession is unto or for salvation. If such a confession is necessary for our salvation, we need to know more about it. The word confess in the Greek New Testament is a compound word. Homos, meaning same or similar, and logos is the Greek word for word or speech. So homologos literally means to say again the same thing, to agree, to consent, to acknowledge, to submit or yield via verbal statement. Colin Brown, in his Dictionary of New Testament Theology, says, homologos is a legal word. A man agrees with another statement. This agreeing expresses itself in a promise or commitment, in a legal contract. Homologos, as a confession, is equivalent to a legal binding oath. Confession, then, is a verbal agreement with another statement. This agreement expresses itself in commitment. When applied to New Testament Christianity, confession means to confess the deity, the lordship, the sovereignty of Christ, to agree that the historical Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the only begotten Son of God who came as a Savior of the world. Confession is to agree that we will commit ourselves to His lordship, His sovereignty. Let us notice some scriptures where our word confession is used. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 John 4:14-15, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Then in Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then in Hebrews 4:14, and again in chapter 10:23, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we confess. Now, with these verses in mind, let us see what we can learn from them and others about confession. First, what are we to confess? Confession is not of a church creed. We are not to confess some doctrinal concept, but rather we're confessing Christ. We are confessing a person, not a set of rules. Insisting that an individual confess to a church creed or some special understanding of doctrine before baptism is denominational to the core. We are to confess Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the Lord and King of our lives. Jesus said, "Confess me, and I will confess you. Deny me, and I'll deny you." In the act of confessing, we are agreeing with God, acknowledging, accepting, the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God, and that there's no other way to forgiveness and salvation except through and by Jesus. Now we must know this morning. By confession, we also are accepting His Lordship in our life. We are committing ourselves to live by His principles daily. We can't confess Jesus as Lord without submitting and yielding all to His authority. Genuine New Testament confession must include a commitment. God has declared that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. God has placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. In our confession is embodied the concept of commitment, submission. we are saying, I will submit to His absolute authority. Here it is, friends. If and when we genuinely, biblically confess Jesus, we will yield to His Lordship in our lives. Secondly, the confession is to be verbal. Listen to Paul in Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession is an outward demonstration of an inward conviction. Paul concludes, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Ethiopian treasurer said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confession is an outward demonstration, a verbal acknowledgement of inward conviction. Confession is a declaration of faith, but it must go well beyond just the words of our lips. It must be an expression of our hearts. Thirdly, we note the confession is to be public. Jesus says, those who are willing to confess me before men on earth will be confessed before the Father in heaven. Paul tells us that Timothy's confession was before many witnesses. There should be no doubt that our confession should be both verbal and public. Notice with me how many confessions of Jesus recorded in the New Testament were both verbal and public. The angelic host confessed Jesus verbally and publicly in Luke 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David is a Savior born. He is Christ the Lord. Twice God Himself confessed Jesus verbally and publicly, once on the banks of the Jordan. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ in Matthew 16:16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the eunuch's confession was verbally and public in Acts 8:37. There should be no doubt that our confession should be both verbal and public. Next, we learn that confession is necessary to our salvation. The idea of verbal and public confession has gotten a lot of attention in the past few years. Many today contend that there is no necessity for confession before baptism. This has come about because some are saying that Acts 8:37, which is the Ethiopian's confession, should not be in our Bibles, because it is not found in most manuscripts, and it's not. Now, I'm not here this morning to argue whether or not Acts 8:37 does or does not belong in the text. I do know that the American Standard Version of 1901 has the verse in the footnotes. New American Standard Version of 1963 has the verse in marginal notes. The NIV of 1973 has the verse in footnotes. The King James has the verse in the text itself. The New King James places the verse in the text with a footnote that it is not found in some manuscripts. It's interesting to note that all these translators thought enough of this verse to include it either in the text or in the margin or in footnotes. But friends, it makes no real difference. No doctrinal difference is made. If this verse does or does not belong in Acts 8, it changes nothing. I'm to believe it is a serious mistake to remove the verbal and public confession from the plan of salvation as we know it. Allow me to give you two reasons. First, note that Paul says confession is unto salvation. He is saying confession is a condition to be met for one's salvation. If confession is unto or for salvation, doesn't that mean that we must confess Jesus before our salvation can become a reality? Secondly, John says, God lives in the individual who has confessed Christ. If anyone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. How and when does one get into God, into Christ? Listen to these two scriptures that answer our question. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have been clothed with Christ. Now, when did we put on Christ? When we were clothed with him. In genuine New Testament baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Peter tells us that we receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. Acts 2:38 says, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is in us and we are in Him at the point of New Testament baptism. 1 John 3:24 tells us, Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Friends, if the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul, then let us be satisfied with that perfection, and God help us to adhere to His teaching. Fifthly, this morning, confession should be continual. Listen to these verses again in Hebrews 4:14 and 10:23. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Confess, acknowledge. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Confess and acknowledge, for He who promised is faithful. Professing, confessing, acknowledging, agreeing with God that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Lord and King, that He is the head of the church. And that means that we submit, yield to His lordship, His kingship in every facet of our lives. Friends, our daily talk and walk must display our inward faith and conviction. It's also interesting to note that the Greek construction of Romans 10:10 indicates that confession must be an ongoing event, like our faith. Faith is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing process, and so is our confession. Then finally, confess now to life or then to condemnation. Philippians 2:9 through 11 tells us in no uncertain terms that all will confess. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, we can confess Jesus today, voluntarily, and have eternal salvation. Or we can be forced to confess Him and His lordship at the end of time, and have eternal condemnation. Friends, the choice is yours. The question this morning is this: have we confessed Jesus? Are we living out our confession daily? You can become a child of God this morning by faith, repentance and confession, and New Testament baptism, that is, immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever we can do to help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.